No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and welcome to One Last Thing. Today, we're co-hosted by Sean Asher. Sean, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Trying to hang in during these murky times.
They are very difficult times indeed. But we have an optimistic topic, we think, and that is the return of Emory Jones to practice, which opens a three-week window, by the way, for activation to the 53. If you are wondering, there is no reversion possible to the NFI list. At the end of this, he could be returned to IR. But any chance for a redshirt season has now passed us, possibility of moving his first year into 2026 of his 4 years of team control. Emory, coming off shoulder surgery in the spring, was shadowing practice during OTAs. I did not see him on the field during training camp much. Not sure what he's, was doing in the early part before he actually came back to practice. But now he's back officially, and the Ravens have 3 weeks to activate him.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. And it's pretty exciting, especially the timing of all things. Ronnie didn't have a great week last week, and I can't really blame Ronnie. It's the ankle injury that he had before, and he was not himself. And I, as a guy who had a bum ankle from the Army, it's completely understandable. It's really hard to anchor when you're your anchor point, your ankle is not functioning well. Mm-hmm. So couldn't be coming at a better time for us to get some offensive line depth back into the fold.
Yeah, the Ravens starters, I think, are known. If we include Stanley at left tackle, then they obviously have Voorhees, Linderbaum, Fa'alele, and Rosengarten from left to right. But let's talk about the backups here. Take us through the backups as you see them. Maybe I'll have a couple comments at the end of this that are both on the roster now on the waiting to be activated list with Emory Jones and the practice squad backups.
Yep. So backup at tackle, Noteboom, who came in last week, had a pretty decent game for a backup tackle. I'll take that. And then we have Vincent at tackle as well. Looks like we have another tackle possibility in Bullock.
I'm not sure if Bullock would actually ever play tackle, maybe in an emergency situation where they had a couple injuries in a game. The next guy down on the practice squad would be Jared Lichtenhahn. And then I guess Jones would also be on the list of potential tackles. And he could even be, let's save that for later in terms of where he fits in that totem pole.
Yeah. And then also on our offensive line interior, we've got Cleveland and, as we said, Bullock already. So mm-hmm. Not really promising, not a lot of depth there. So,
Corey Bullock is a player that I think they're probably grooming for the 2026 center role. Mm-hmm. If Linderbaum leaves, it's even possible Linderbaum would be traded if this season unravels on the Ravens. So I think that they need to figure out what they have there during 2025. That'll help them decide if they need to make a draft pick or not. If they need to expend a second or third round draft pick, possibly on a center to get going again there.
Yep. And then on practice squad interior, we also have Jared Penning, brother of the Saints offensive tackle.
Yes.
Yeah. The one that everybody wanted that pretty good. We didn't draft him. And just signed Kenyon Green to the practice squad a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Now, something like that, which you know, the body. We needed some bodies.
It's a good flyer. You know, Kenyon Green in 2022, I think, was the 15th overall draft pick. So there were athletic traits that people liked at that time. The Ravens offensive line coaching has been traditionally very good and helped players, you know, achieve what they could with their limitations. And I think they've done so, you know, extremely well with players like Bradley Bozeman and James Hurst. And you come up with a number of guys over the years, but even now with Voorhees and Fa'alele, I think they're getting the most they can out of these players. And you know, there's still room for improvement. Matt Skura is another good example of a player who, you know, had brought less to the game physically than other players do. And they got a lot out of.
And one of the things I think about in that development too, is our ability to get comp picks that I personally didn't see happening, whether it's John Simpson or the guard that signed with Denver. Bad players by any means, you know, any stretch of the imagination. I didn't see us getting the value or the, you know, them getting these second contracts that they were given. I didn't see that coming. And it says a lot about what the Ravens are able to do in showcasing these talents.
I think people are going to be very surprised by what Daniel Fa'alele's next contract is for.
Yep.
You know, good or bad, I think they're going to be very surprised by it. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's all of a sudden is a $12 million a year guard that some team really wants to make a bet on. So that'll be interesting. I think that the ship may have passed since he's played now a very good stretch of 9 games going back into last year. I think that the ship has probably passed on getting him re-signed at a super team friendly deal. I think now Daniel Price is betting on himself and hoping that he can cash in this offseason.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of the interest in Emory Jones right now. And in this season is getting Emory Jones on the field at some point in time, because I think you're probably right that one way or the other, Daniel Fa'alele is probably not in Baltimore's plans in next season, just because cap is a real thing and we have stars that we've paid. And you know, I agree. I don't think it behooves Daniel Fa'alele to take less money to play with the Ravens than he could make somewhere else, just because why not? You know,
this is a big chance for a payday, and he may well take it. If he were to get hurt, he could still be back on a 1-year deal. If his play were to severely drop off, I think it might be a case where the Ravens are just have to part ways with him anyway, or want to. There's a possibility, I guess, he could be back if his play reduces somewhat, but not tremendously, and there isn't a big market for him. It's always possible, but it seems like that runway is getting shorter and shorter in terms of the likelihood of him being able to land that 747 of a frame he's got on that spot.
Yeah, and one of the things your listeners always know and you always point to is the future value of these players. And even if there is a way in which we get Daniel Fa'alele back on a 1-2 year deal that's team friendly, there's just not a ton of value in what he's bringing to the table versus the question mark of what Emory Jones can be bringing to the table.
I'm with you on that. I do think in the case of Fa'alele, if you think you have a good player, and look, he's very divisive among Baltimore fans. I realize that. I see a fourth-year player, and I can't really project the same sort of improvement that I would with a young Matt Skura or a young Bradley Bozeman or a young Ben Powers on him, young Ryan Jensen on him. All those guys, you know, had tremendous improvement, but most of that occurred during their first 4 years. So if Fa'alele were to return, he'd be a fifth-year player. The chance of him, you know, showing still tremendous improvement from now, I think he's got less of a ceiling remaining. I'd certainly agree with that. And if they got him back on a 1-year deal, I think the most likely route would be injury, and with the sincere hope that he could have one great year for the Ravens and move on for a big contract somewhere else that would grant the Ravens a comp pick. I think that's possible.
I agree with you. And I think the biggest reason I agree with you is because now with Warhop, he's had a new offensive line coach. And if there was going to be some big dramatic improvement, you'd think there'd be another person that's pointing out something that he would have picked up in this development, and we'd see that jump between last season and this season. So
well, we did, to be fair, we did see a big jump in his play at the end of last season with Warhop, and they reduced his penalties. They did a lot of things were done positively. This year he's taken a step back, but not down to where he was the first 14 games of 2024 when he was terrible. He's moved back into an area right between the best he's played and the worst he's played, which is right at a standard kind of a C level league average kind of guard. That might be his final resting place, or he might be able to recover to his highest point. It is, I would say it's fairly rare with offensive linemen that you see someone who has as many as five consecutive good games at the level he had, that he doesn't return to somewhere near that at a future time. And I'm not saying he's going to be Marshall Yanda or be consistent at that level. I'm just saying there's some signature significance to as many as five games in a row at that level that would tell me it's possible for him to get back. I think he really worked hard this offseason trying to do it. So far we haven't seen the same kind of results this year.
Yeah. And I get the criticism. It looks ugly. I get it. But he's healthy and he plays and he doesn't give up a ton of penalties. He's not the reason the offense is not clicking. And in the NFL, that's worth money, you know, to a lot of teams. That's worth a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Let's get back to Emory Jones here. He'll practice for 3 weeks. So basically it's the fourth today, and this is Saturday we're recording on this, but his first practice, I believe, was on the first, so that would have been his activation date. So by the 22nd, they have to decide on this, so that would be the game after that is when he would be would need to be activated to the roster, not necessarily have to play, but be activated to the roster in order to maintain his not revert to IR.
Correct.
Okay.
Not have a redshirt season.
Yeah, and that would be not a redshirt season, be a useless lost season on IR. So I'm sure they'll activate him to the 53, or they wouldn't have started the practice window right now. But I guess the next question we really need to talk about is, this is a guy who's had low live fire. What does his ramp up period look like to you?
God, it really hinges on how the Ravens end up playing in the next couple of weeks, you know, to me. And it's if we're sitting down and now in a couple of weeks when he's ready to be activated and we've got six losses, you know, to me, my best framework for Emory Jones getting involved is Bahouri's or Falele. They get a nick, you know, it's a thigh bruise or something. It's not something they can't play through, but the Ravens are incentivized to put Bahouri's or Cleveland down for a week or two and let them get 100% healthy with whatever this nick is, and, you know, allow Emory Jones to slide into guard.
Yeah, and obviously every lineman plays with injuries throughout the year in the NFL, so particularly by about midseason, everyone's got a little something. You know, they've got a shoulder that's hurting, or they've got a knee that's a little off, or they've got an ankle, or whatever it might be. They're all trying to work through that kind of stuff, and they're staying active. The Ravens have been very good in the past about rotational play at some guard spots, where they'll you know, go through a multiple week period where you're looking at both players on the field. They did that some last year with Rosengarten and McCary at right tackle to start the year, for example. So I think we could see some of Emory Jones this year. By the way, for folks who are out there, I see a lot of Emory Jones, like an Emory board, M-E-M-O-R-Y. It's E-M-E-R-Y. Just so if you're writing it in a tweet or whatever, it's worth getting right. That's the thing. But anyway, I think there is a possibility that we could see him at either a position of desired rotation like guard if no one gets hurt, or at a position of need like tackle if someone more does get hurt.
Yeah, so I'm curious on your thoughts on that. What would have to happen at tackle for Jones to be the next player up at either tackle position, I guess?
Yeah, that's really at the heart of this question. So with Ronnie Stanley and Rosengarten, if healthy, are the two that the Ravens want to have playing there. So Ronnie Stanley, right now, they haven't ruled him out for the game yet, right? He's still got a questionable status,
questionable,
I believe.
Correct.
So we're going to see if he plays tomorrow, but the truth of the matter is, Noteboom might be the better choice. Noteboom out.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Played him last week with Ronnie looking very hurt and Noteboom playing probably, I would say pretty well for the circumstances. They certainly need to try and hold up against the Texans line. So I think Noteboom is the first player. And then it really becomes a question whether or not Vinson or Jones is the second player. Now, Vinson has had live fire. He's looked pretty good against number twos, and he certainly looked like he's on the runway, ready to take off, and possibly sooner than a player like Jones who has no live fire yet. I mean, I do think it's quite possible that Carson Vinson plays 400 preseason snaps before he gets his first NFL snap, but that could still be next year that he gets his first NFL snap. If you have both available, I don't even know who's active over the other. But I will say one thing is that the Ravens have lacked a swing player so far. And it's very useful to have a guard tackle among your various choices on the offensive line for reasons I can get into.
Yeah, and that may be the thing that gives him the edge is the fact that he is a body and he can play guard or tackle in the pinch that we need, whereas Vincent is left tackle or bust.
Yeah, left tackle or bust all the way for Vincent. His body shape, his everything about him is left tackle or bust. And you know, he's been coached up. Vincent has had a tremendous direct interest taken in him by Warhop, which I think is very good because Warhop really is the one who pounded the table for the pick. So it's that's good to know. I don't know in the case of Jones. He did like him, and he talked about LSU linemen, which is why he should have really liked Dellinger as well. Actually, pointed Dellinger as well. But it's Emory Jones may have just as much attachment to that selection. It was certainly a higher round draft pick that he feels like he'll be good sooner than Vincent has. So Vincent played at a lower level of college ball, but he's played more live fire reps and at the NFL level so far. And of course, Emory Jones played in the SEC, so he's been just a step away from pro ball to start with, but he's got no live fire at all at the NFL level.
Correct. Also, fun fact, I don't know if you saw the Shador Sanders Ravens had called and he said no, but I remember our draft coverage when we traded the picks and then it became Carson Vinson. I was like, why would we trade these picks? And then the answer we got from Harbaugh was somebody was in the bathroom. And then as like, to me, all of this clicked. Yeah. Was that swap and that hesitation? And then Carson Vincent, was that the Shador call?
It could well have been. And first of all, let's ascribe this correctly, because I don't think Harbaugh had anything to say for it. And if he did, it's not the right person to ask. I think it was EDC who made the call on it. I think they were completely befuddled with who to draft, and they agreed to trade up 6 places in round 6 in order to trade back 6 places or 5 places. It's the same number of places either
yep,
place.
Something like
in round 4 to 5. It made no sense at all. It just made no sense. And we were throwing our arms up in the air. I think the media was having the same kind of problem with it. The Ravens just they didn't know who they wanted to draft. Their first choice was gone. They had a couple defensive linemen that they lost by taking Vincent. And you know, it's quite possible Vincent would have been available around later. I don't know exactly what the economy of that pick was. But it was it was a weird moment in draft history. The Ravens have had a couple of times where things like that have happened, despite the fact they drafted very well. You know, being late with the card on the Jimmy Smith pick was an interesting one.
Yep.
So anyway, lots of things.
Very interesting. But yeah, I mean, I went back and listened to the expectations on Emory Jones, and I just can't agree more that if the Ravens don't find a way to get this guy 100 snaps this year, this is really sad. Like it is a missed opportunity. And the idea that like EDC likes to fill out the roster and have a roster before like training camp and counting on rookies. And like, we saw it last year when Vahouris was like, okay, he's going to be our left guard. And like, he didn't have anything the year before with the torn ACL. Like it was no shot to Vahouris, but like he wasn't ready, and you know, he didn't have the live fire, and that's not on him. But you know, counting on somebody like that you haven't seen anything from, like, it can be dangerous.
Yeah, it can be, and it's an interesting problem in Jones's case, because he certainly played at a league that is at least at a high level before that. If we're talking about where he is on the totem pole at tackle, I'm just going to say I would probably place him as the second backup currently. So I think Noteboom remains number one. He's number two ahead of Vinson, as I would see it. I just think Vinson still has a lot of technical issues. Jones may have them too, and we won't hear about them because media isn't at practice now, but we may get an explanation at some point from Warhop that, you know, he's still ramping up the play, still trying to figure it out in some ways. But the amount of coaching that goes individually rep by rep with the players on the offensive line could be significant if the player has certain technical flaws. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jones is still there.
Got you. So you're seeing him after Noteboom, he's the next tackle up. And honestly, I think I'd say the same thing for guard. You know, like Cleveland is probably the better option right now, but Cleveland doesn't have you any value in 2026 unless you want to sign him to another vet minimum deal. And like, sure, Ben Cleveland's probably up for that. You know, what else is he going to do? Or, you know, maybe someone else wants him for a little bit more than the vet minimum. But it really behooves you, if Vahouris or Falele goes down, it really behooves you to throw Jones in and see what you got and see what you're working with this year indexed.
Right. I would agree with that. They need less to see what they have with Ben Cleveland. They do need to see what they have with Corey Bullock. And that could be a more pressing thing, because they might not be able to get Corey Bullock center snaps, but getting him guard snaps might still help them decide whether or not he's the potential replacement next year for Linderbaum, assuming they can't get that contract signed. They've also got Kenyon Green sitting on the practice squad, who is a high pedigree player who has now failed in two organizations, both with Houston and then with the Eagles. He involved in an interesting trade with the Eagles, where it was a trade of two players who I think each had worn out their welcome in their original city, and then both of them wore out their welcome in their new city. So yep. This might be a Deontay Johnson situation we're looking at with Kenyon Green, who, my friend who is a Houston sports radio talk show host said, that's Charlie Polillo, said that he doesn't think Kenyon Green retains information very well. He actually made the kind of the snide comment that we shouldn't try and pump him for information in advance of the Texans game, because he won't have remembered anything. and then he's traded for Gardner Johnson, who's the guy who got released by Houston for what very much seems like Marcus Williams / Eddie Jackson non buying into the system. And you know, we've been through this with Deontay Johnson last year. I'm really Kenyon Green. He's got to practice well with the Ravens. This might literally be his last NFL chance.
Yep.
You know, and hopefully he buys into the system here in Baltimore. And if he does, I think they potentially have a good player there, but a lot of things have to hit right.
Yep, absolutely. And I just couldn't believe people. Twitter is a wild place, and I get it. You just to see everything, but people clamoring for Gardner Johnson. I'm like, what? Didn't we see this? You really? You think that it'll work here? Okay, sure. Yeah. But yeah, I'm all in favor of Kenyon Green being on the practice squad, and if we need him, we've got a body. He's got the frame. maybe there's an information retention issue, you know, but coming out of the Eagles and not working with the Eagles after they took the Titans tackle and made him an excellent guard who ended up getting paid, you know, the fact that he couldn't make it in Philly is like, I don't know how high my hopes are for him, but doesn't hurt to have him on the practice squad.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's it's a move to pay some value. The Ravens were looking for depth in some various ways. They really need a 10th offensive lineman on the roster, which is why I think Jones will be activated to the 53. And I don't think we'll see a lineman waived. I think we'll see the Ravens keep 10 offensive linemen. I think it makes more sense. You could have a lineman go to IR. That's possible. And then they would only have 9 to make 8 still. I don't really like 9 to make 8. I made the point about you really want to have a swing tackle. When the Ravens have 4 pure tackles with Vinson, Noteboom, Rosengarten, and Stanley, that means your other 4 on game day can be interior offensive linemen. So it means Vinson can't really be active as a 4th, but you can have a player like Jones active because he's a guard slash tackle and can back you up on the inside or the outside. But I really am not a fan of having 4 to make 3 on the inside or 3 to make 2 a tackle. I want to have 4 to make 2 and 5 to make 3, which means you have to have one guy who plays both spots.
Correct. Yep. And we've gotten great luck out of those swing tackles over the years, you know, Patrick McCary. And then before Hurst. Yep. And you know, if Emory Jones, even if he can play just average level backup tackle, replacement level tackle and guard, he's got a career in Baltimore.
Right. And I think we're probably undershooting the mark a little bit with Emory Jones to put McCary and Hurst were good examples of undrafted players who made good with the Ravens system of offensive line play. But Jones is a player who you know has a legitimate SEC pedigree and a third round draft pick status. You know, so the Ravens fans should expect more out of him. And I certainly hope he finds his position. I think it's probably guard in the NFL and is effective there. And it could well be that he's the Ravens' right guard in 2026, given the length and size to open the front gate, so to speak, that we've seen with Ravens right guards in the past.
Yeah, and you have to figure that out this year, because if you don't, you're headed to the free agency and you're signing somebody and you're paying money you don't really want to be spending, or you're spending another high draft pick to try to have two guys compete for one job, and like you don't really want to be doing either of those things. So it's hard for me to imagine that he's not going to get significant reps this year.
Right. I would agree. I think you're setting the mark though at a reasonable level to say 100 plus reps, 100 plus game snaps is reasonable. Maybe 200 is reasonable too. I mean, it's a long season in terms of the remaining games. We still got the 13 games left, and he could certainly see time in a number of those. He also may be inactive for several of the weeks here, depending on how things work out. So he's a guy, though, who they certainly want to know what they have in 26, and they want to know for draft purposes. This could be a double dip year on the offensive line. And when I say that, I mean like a second and a fourth. I don't think it's a year where they're drafting a tackle on either spot. We'll see if that changes, in which case it might require a first. But I think you know, it'd be a double dip year with a day two and an early day three pick.
Yep. I can get behind that for sure. Because right. Linderbaum, right?
Yep.
So I agree.
All right. Well, Sean, always great doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I am on X at BMORE _ sky, SKY _ high, HIGH. I'm on X.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter, and I'd love to hear about you. Any topic that we can cover in about 20 minutes is ideal, trying to provide some shorter content that people like. Please like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, and pass this show along to one friend you think might enjoy it. Sean, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Ken. Look forward to some brighter days in Baltimore football.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.